Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed. So I call your name, your name.
And welcome to the gathering on Signs of Life Radio. I'm Bob Ginsburg, and I'm joined by Fran Ginsburg, and Tom and Melissa are on vacation. They can't join us tonight, but they will be back next month for the regular gathering show. Topic tonight is pets, visits from the animal world, and it's a topic of interest to many people. I know we're always talking about evidence of survival of human personality. We don't often talk about pets, so we're going to be doing that tonight. We did do a survey, and a lot of you have written in with your personal experiences. And if you want to join the conversation tonight, or you want to share an experience that you've had, a visit from a deceased pet, give us a call at 1-888-627-6008. And before we get started, Fran's going to bring us up on all the upcoming events.
Okay. We want to remind our listeners to check the events page on our website, foreverfamilyfoundation.org, for all the latest events and happenings. Coming up free this month in May, on May 11th from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern or 11 to noon Pacific and anything in between and on the sides, we have our Visionary Explorers group. It's an online meeting, so doesn't matter where you are in the world to join in with that one. Also on May 11th from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern, and this is in the physical, the Miami, Florida Afterlife Discussion Group meets at the West Dade Regional Library. Our next webinar is scheduled for May 22nd at 9 p.m. Eastern and will feature John Kruth presenting The History of the Rhine. Beginning with an exploration of mediumship, founder J.B. Rhine created the first structured laboratory to test psychic abilities. If you are psychic or interested in the topic, this is the webinar for you. Starting at 9 p.m., please calculate the time for wherever you are in the world, but that's 9 p.m. Eastern. The final part of the webinar will include live questions and answers. And for our listeners tonight, we have a limited number of free member-only seats. You can use the code RHINE2019, and RHINE is spelled R-H-I-N-E 2019. That's for our members. And for our non-members, we have half-price seats using the code KRUTH219, and that's K-R-U-T, like in Tom, H, 2019, for non-member half-price seats. Our annual Holiday of the Earth raffle winners were drawn on Earth Day. They are Carol B. from Michigan, Elisa C. from Florida, Andrew M. from Virginia, Kathleen S. from New York, and Anita C. from the Bahamas. Please do not call the offers. Winners have already been contacted directly to preserve the integrity of their readings. We send out a great big thank you to everyone who entered. This is how we pay our bills, and we are forever grateful for your support. The annual summer group retreat, Love Knows No Death, is open for enrollment. Be sure to grab one of the remaining 30 seats to this great weekend, where attendees work in small groups with Forever Family Foundation certified mediums, Rebecca Ann Lo Cicero, Siri Bernstein, and Joseph Scheel, along with Dr. Mo Hanna and a caring staff of facilitators assisting in transforming your grief. The special weekend is scheduled for July 26th through 28th in Chester, Connecticut, where you will learn that the mystery of death is not a mystery at all, but a doorway to another chapter of continuing life. And please help us keep all of our programs going by visiting our website and clicking on the donation button. It's on every single page. Because of the work we do not receive the grants and funding that all other traditional not-for-profits enjoy. You can always help us pay our bills by participating in iGive.com, Amazon.com, Amazon Smile, and great nonprofits. And follow us on our YouTube channel for great stories and videos on youtube.com/afterlifeeducation. Back to you, Bob.
And as we mentioned, tonight's topic is visits from the animal world. We did send out a survey a few months ago, and we asked people we asked them a simple question, have you ever sensed the presence of a deceased pet? And if so, please explain. Got a good response, and the breakdown is sort of what I would have expected. 65% of the respondents said yes and wrote in about an encounter, and 35% said no. The reason I say somewhat expected is that's typically the same percentages that we would get when talking about visits from loved ones.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, it's usually, around, the same breakdown. So
was the assumption also made that everybody who responded has pets?
They might have, a lot of the no's could have been because they didn't own a pet, and so they didn't have a visit.
Well, I suppose dangerous statistics.
Yeah, I suppose they could have gotten a visit from somebody else's pet, and just like humans sometimes visit other people.
That's true.
They know that
that's
a message will get through. But, it raises an interesting theory. A lot of people don't think about it, because they think that, humans have consciousness and the animal realm doesn't. But, of course, we know that a lot of animals do, and we know that some animals are extremely bright, have cognitive behaviors and different levels of consciousness, and not only cats and dogs, but chimpanzees and mammals, dolphins, birds, elephants, octopuses are supposed to be very smart, animals. So, and a lot of people will try to reason it out, and they'll say, some animals have a higher level of consciousness and they survive physical death, and some on the lower level, for instance, insects, don't. So it's a hard.
How would we know that?
How do we really know?
I would argue in defense of the insects being just as likely to have a consciousness as a plant would. And we know that plant experiments have shown plants reacting to stimuli.
That's right. I mean, plant consciousness, who's to say that doesn't survive as well? I was watching a video the other day of Jane Goodall, who everybody knows, and it was so heartwarming. There was a very large chimpanzee that she had rehabilitated, and now it was time finally to let the chimp back out into its natural surroundings, and they brought it out into the jungle in a big wooden crate, and they opened up the crate, and the chimp hopped up on top of the crate and then stared into Jane Goodall's eyes, and she stared into his eyes, and then the chimp wrapped her in a huge hug and embraced her, and the two of them stood in this embrace with their eyes closed for quite a long time, just feeling the love and the compassion. And then, after the embrace, the chimp, let go and hopped down and then moved off into his, his world. But, there's an example of the animal kingdom that in certain respects is maybe more advanced than we are, because they don't judge and they don't label and they don't, their ego mind doesn't come into play. It's just pure feeling, pure love. So that really drives to say that a chimpanzee doesn't survive physical death when they're conscious beings, advanced, conscious beings like we are, doesn't make any sense to me. We should, as we read through some of these, we'll also, talk about, other concepts that people have. And if you want to, as I mentioned, if you want to share something or add to the conversation, share an experience, you can call us at 1-888-627-6008. Let's just get, before we go to a break, get to a few of these responses. A lot of these are sense of presence, you know, similar to what people report from humans that have passed over. One person writes, yes, I've caught a glimpse of my sweet lab June bug after her passing. It's as simple as that. Yes, I have many beloved animal companions on the other side. I can feel the warmth of their presence near me when I think of them or send them love. Again, that sense of presence. Yes, about a month after my dog Tessie passed, she came to me in a dream. She stuck her wet nose in my ear and woke me up. You know, so there's a dream visit.
With a tactile
physical, you know, sensation. Again, not much different than the reports that we hear about our own loved ones, you know, passing. Years ago, after another beloved dog died, I always felt him in the TV room where he liked to hang out. This was an objective, clairsentient sensation of cold on the outside of my lower leg. There's tons of these, and we'll go through them. We're going to go to our first break now. Come back. We'll be back with more of your experiences and more discussion about pets and possibly do pets reincarnate? We'll talk about that as well. Stay with us.
The Camlack Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the Camlack Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlack.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one. Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the foreverfamilyfoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to the gathering on Signs of Life Radio. We're talking about visits from the animal world. Another similarity between humans and animals is that a lot of pets seem to know a day or two before their actual death that it's time, you know, that they sense that their time, you know, is near and that they're ready to pass over. I know we've seen that personally with
cats. But I think it's longer than, you know, than just a day or two. I think they are prepared for it, and that, you know, we're not in their heads, so we can't figure out what it is that they're preparing or how they're preparing for it. But they know. They definitely know.
Yeah, no, I know with cats in particular, because that's what we've had many, many over the years, is that they tend to also hide or go to a place because it's sort of as if they don't want you to see them, you know.
Well, I don't think it's so much they don't want you to see them as much as they want to be in solitude. And I think that speaks also of some of the Eastern religions of crossing over, the theories of crossing over, where they know that they've lived their full life, that they've fulfilled their purpose for being here, and they walk off and to a quiet place, and they meditate, and they cross over.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't an animal who's not anywhere indoctrinated into the craziness of the physical world not do the same thing? Maybe it's totally inborn within us to somehow know that we've completed what it is we came here for, and it's time to move on.
And we know that certain pets and other animals, they see a much wider range of frequencies than we do. And I know we've noticed it with our own, you know, pets, that they appear to be looking at humans who have passed over and other animals that have passed over. They stare and react to something that others can't see in the room, not unlike, those of us who have these, you know, the intuitive abilities. So there's another similarity. I mean, what are your thoughts about pets reincarnating? Do you think that pets reincarnate?
I don't see why not. If humans reincarnate, why wouldn't pets reincarnate? I don't really see the differentiation there. It's the soul we're talking about, or the consciousness. So if we're concluding that pets have consciousness, and we're concluding that humans have consciousness, and we've seen research on humans that support reincarnation, then we can take that extra step and say, well, then pets reincarnate.
Well, the argument for reincarnation that's given, the reason for it, not necessarily the argument, is that come back to work on our a greater soul, you know, to learn lessons that we need to know to round out, so to speak, our oversoul. Would pets have the same reason for coming back?
Well, are we making
they
the
work on their own development? You know?
Are we making the differentiation that humans will only reincarnate as humans and pets will only reincarnate as pets? I mean, what comes to mind immediately is a show from the, I think, the 70s called My Mother the Car, where I think it was Jerry Van Dyke was the actor, and his mother reincarnated as his old car that he kept in the garage. Why do we categorize things? Why can a human only reincarnate as a human? I'm just asking the question.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really know the answer, but
right.
I don't see why we're going to... Consciousness is consciousness is consciousness.
Yeah. Well, of course, there have been, tens of thousands of accounts of children with past life memories and other reincarnation cases. I don't recall anyone... I don't recall any child saying that they were a cat or a dog in a past life.
Or a plant.
Or a
because
plant.
Because how... How could they? How could they even say that if there's no way for them to give the personality of that cat the same way a child who's remembering a past life can give you this whole historical account
right.
of that person?
Right.
There's no historical account of a cat or
yeah.
a dog.
That's a concept. I mean, it's a difficult concept for a lot of people to grasp among humans, let alone pets. But there are many accounts, and we have a bunch of them, the people that wrote to us, where there's communication that takes place with deceased animals through a medium. So well, let's get phone calls in. So let's go to Laura on line two. Laura, you there?
I am here. I am
good.
Here. Hi, thanks for taking my call. I do have a question. It's not really about animals in the afterlife. It's about my cats in the present life. I was just wondering if you guys know any, psychics that can... like pet psychics, because I have one female cat too many, and so there's a lot of conflict here, and I don't know what to do about this because I love both of these cats, and I just wonder if there's any help that I can get with this situation.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there are. It doesn't fall into our realm of expertise because we're mainly concentrating on
afterlife,
on medium.
I just want to take the conversation a bit further, though, because
yeah.
this is interesting. Mm. I know a lot of people turn to psychics, and literally, I'm talking about psychics versus mediums, because Forever Family Foundation is about mediums, because that's
yes.
our evidence of an afterlife. Psychics do not give us evidence of an afterlife.
Yeah.
A lot of people will turn to psychics for...
I'm a member, too, by the way. I'm
oh,
a member
nice.
Of...
Okay.
Yes. Yes, and I contribute often.
Well, thanks.
Sure. I love you guys.
Thank you so much. A lot of people will turn to psychics hoping that they're going to tell them who their next boyfriend is going to be, who they're going to marry, all that kind of stuff, where there is not a definitive line of giving dependable information when predicting the future.
Mm-hmm.
Or the future. So now we're talking about a situation where you have a bunch of cats in the house and this one female isn't getting along with the rest of them. So I'm just trying to get into where you're going with this. What would be your hope that a psychic might be able to solve this problem?
Yeah, well, I guess, so I have all my cats are rescues. Three primary cats, two boys and a girl, and my neighbor abandoned two cats, a boy and a girl, a mother and son. So we were feeding them outside until I'm in Fort Lauderdale again, so until a hurricane was coming a couple years ago, and I had to bring them in because I couldn't let them, you know, go through that. So now I've got five in the house, and I'm really trying, and it's one cat, one female cat too many, and I love them all, and I really would like to try to figure out a way. I just don't know what to do. I'm trying to place the two fosters that I brought in, but
It sounds like, you know, I mean, you would need the services more of like an animal behavior specialist or a animal psychologist. There are animal communicators. You know, I mean, we don't have any references.
Well, we do, and there's one that I used to contact a lot. I don't have her information here, but her name is, interestingly enough, Kat Berard.
What, spell the last name? What's the last name?
I think it's B-E-R-A-R-D. And she is just a wonderful place for all kinds of pet information and guidance, and she bends over backwards to help and to do the best she can by any pet situation. So I wish I had her information at my fingertips right now, but I don't. But her name is Kat Berard, and I believe...
I'll look online.
Yeah, I believe she's in Texas, if I'm remembering correctly.
Oh, okay. That's great. And I'm sorry to take this sort of in another direction, but I thought, oh, maybe somebody could help me figure out what to do with this, with my little Twinkie who doesn't like Bella, and make a happy home for me again.
I hope so.
Well, good luck with that, and I hope Kat can help you out with that.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So I was mentioning before, that, and I don't know if you remember this, we were talking with Siri Bernson, who was one of our certified mediums, and she was telling us a story about how she was doing a reading for somebody, and somebody came through, and she was getting a physical description, and she was mentioning to the person that they were had a huge chest, and that they had, you know, muscled arms, and they were very hairy, and as she's going on and on and on, and the sitter said, "Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about," and it turns out that she trained chimpanzees.
Right.
I remember that. You know, and that was her beloved, chimp that crossed. So the medium was not thinking that it could be an animal trying to communicate, but it was, you know.
Right.
Gave the descriptions. I thought that was interesting.
Which again speaks to the concept that the consciousness of an animal is not differentiated from the consciousness of a human.
Right. Let me read some more of these experiences. The question again, have you ever sensed the presence of a deceased pet? And a person writes, yes, my cats. One special one in particular, she comes through while I'm in meditation. Well, that's interesting, because the same advice we would give to somebody who's trying to communicate with a deceased loved one, get into an altered state of consciousness. Meditation is the simplest way of doing it.
Right, and I just want to speak to that, because a lot of people don't like meditation. They don't feel they have the time for meditation. But truly, if you want to open yourself up to visits from humans or from pets, or maybe even from plants for that matter, meditation is the way to open yourself up for that communication. And meditation is much like when you're first falling asleep or when you're first getting up in the morning, that dream state. And that's why they are also able to visit us in our dreams. So I just wanted to throw that in there, because I know that in the crazy world in which we live in, and we have a million things we have to get done during the day, meditation is not on our to-do list. But if you truly want to get yourself into that position where you can regularly receive information, communication, presence, sense of presence, and all that, meditation really is the way to go.
Do you remember, just while you were talking, I just thought of this, because I remember there were a lot of articles, and I think we saw it on a TV program as well. There was a cat, I believe, named Oscar, who hung out in a hospice.
Oh.
Wasn't it a cat?
I might even still have that article.
Oscar was able to sense when a person was going to cross, I mean, very soon, very, very soon. And Oscar would roam the halls, and when he would hop up in the bed of somebody that was was already straddling two worlds, and you know, and comfort them and be with them as they crossed over. And even all the people that worked in hospice knew to gather, you know, or maybe get the doctor, because when Oscar hopped on your bed, you know, that was a better indication than any medical exam that you could give. So, you know, you wonder how that happens. You know, was Oscar, there's a lot of conjecture about, you know, how that's possible, you know.
I think it goes the same way. If you talk to hospice nurses who have been around for a while, they also have that same sense of when a person is getting ready to cross. So, you know, the Oscar the cat doesn't have the physical restrictions of the world weighing him down. So he's open to being able to sense that situation. Hospice nurses who have been around a while, they get attuned to that same situation.
Yeah. And well, it could also be where Oscar, we know that as people are getting ready to cross, that they see, they have visits from others that have predeceased them. And it could be that, you know, the cat being able to see a much wider spectrum of things is also seeing, you know, the loved one that's coming to transport.
To welcome them.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, that's a possibility as well. Some other responses. Yes, in a very vivid dream, she was there with my deceased father. So there, her deceased pet and her deceased father combined, you know, for a dream visit. That's pretty nice.
I wonder who brought who.
Yeah. Yes, I sensed my Great Dane Cookie multiple times, particularly during the night beside my bed. She pulled my cover very gently to let me know that she's with me. She actually appeared in my best friend's dream. She wanted to relay a message to me. Mm-hmm. So there you go. Animals, the same way as humans, will sometimes, when they can't get through to you, will get through to somebody else that you know in the hope that that person will get that message to you. So there's a perfect example of that. You know, there's also, and I noticed at least one response this way. I mean, I've read reports, you know, people that do EVP and ITC, instrumental transcommunication, where a deceased entity can project their image into like white noise or static or water or a reflecting pool or things like that. There have been a lot of cases of animals in ITC where the pictures of animals, they make their image appear, you know, and so it's no difference.
Right. So you're back to the consciousness is consciousness.
Here's a person who whose deceased dog would pound on the door with his paw so someone would let him out. And after he passed, she said, my husband and I were watching TV one night and we heard pounding on the laundry room door. We were surprised and a little frightened that perhaps something or someone was in our laundry room. And after my husband opened the door and looked at the laundry room, he found it was empty. At that point, we thought it was Ming, you know, her deceased dog, communicating with us. We actually felt comforted and laughed about it.
Mm-hmm.
Ming making an appearance. Another one, I heard my dog bark as I turned off the light to go to sleep the night that we had to euthanize her. I never heard of such a thing before, so I looked through the house for an open window, thinking it might have come from an open window. Not. it's not just a sense of presence or a glimpse. They actually heard the bark, you know. The previous person heard the pounding on the door. Again, you know, I don't see any difference in these accounts as from all the accounts that people write in about, you know, afterlife encounters with their deceased loved ones. So, I mean, there are tremendous similarities. Okay, a lot more to talk about. We're going to go to a break. we come back, we're going to be continuing our discussion of visits from the animal world. Stay with us.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Am I Psychic is a mobile app designed using statistics, science, and parapsychological protocols to test psychic ability using fun games. Each game has two unique modes. In psychokinesis mode, influence the game using mind over matter ability. In extrasensory perception mode, guess which random option will be chosen. Am I Psychic can store your results in an anonymous database used to eventually publish in academic journals. Available on the App Store and Google Play. Go to ampsychicapp.com and be a part of proving psychic phenomena to the world. Some profits will be donated to the Rhine Research Center.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the foreverfamilyfoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to the gathering on Signs of Life Radio. We're talking about visits from the animal world. You know, I should mention, we talk a lot about near-death experience, and a good percentage of people who have such experiences, you know, see deceased loved ones. And out of that, there's a fairly large number of people who report seeing deceased pets in the garden or whatever afterlife realm, you know, they determine that they're in. So there's another example of the similarities between, you know, animals in the afterlife and humans in the afterlife. Let's go back to some of the experiences. Person writes, both my wife and I sensed and saw one of our cats after she died. We also both heard our dog barking for a while after he had passed. We weren't open-minded enough to encourage contact at the time, though. That's interesting. You know, they had the contact. Maybe they feel a little guilty that they didn't ask for more, right? That's no different than what a lot of people tell us about, contacts with their loved ones. Yes, I have had more than once. When my cat was at the vet's overnight because he was ill, he died during the night. This kitty only had one eye, and when I woke up, not knowing why I saw him by my side, he had two perfect eyes.
Nah.
So, again, you know, those in the afterlife realm, whether human or pets, they usually come back in a whole, right? The infirm or healthy. And let's see. Yes, a short time after our beloved dog was put down, I would feel a brush of fur against my leg from time to time, like she used to do when she would be affectionate while she was physically with us. There were several times I was awoken from a sound sleep because I was certain that I heard her barking. When I woke up from the sound, it would take a minute or two for me to remember that she had crossed.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. We were together 13 years and the dog... Oh, I see. We were together 13 years, and the dog he had from a pup before we met instantly became my best friend. This is her husband's dog, evidently, and she took care of him when he was sick and when he was healthy. He never left her side. Sadly, 3 years ago, although there was a decision to split with her ex, and she had to leave this beloved dog, Buddy, she ceased all contact with her ex and never spoke to him. And so, not surprisingly, even 3 years later, while cooking in her own kitchen in her new apartment, she heard his old familiar jingle of his necklace loud as day, and she turned to see him. He always stood next to me while I cooked. I told my son, he lives with me, that I think Buddy crossed over, and I explained what had just happened. Buddy was an old man even when he left. My son's face dropped because he knows I see, hear, and feel those that have crossed since I was a little girl. My son randomly ran into my former stepdaughter a week later and inquired about Buddy, and she told my son that my ex had him put to sleep. So it's very likely that Buddy made an appearance to her right after, you know, he crossed over. Another person writes, yes, my cat of 15 years held on several months past my husband's death. He pops into my memory often. I think of him whenever a black cat crosses my path. I see an inanimate object that reminds me of him. I feel him at my feet in bed at night. He's letting me know he's still around, there by me, comforting me still. It's common... we have countless reports of people in bed and feeling their deceased spouse. Sometimes there's an indentation in the bed. Sometimes they feel, a cold or a warmth that they're at their feet. This seems to be.
Why would it be any different from an animal?
So let me,
of course, they can't leave as big a dent. But
obviously, we've had many, many cats that crossed over in a lifetime. Have you ever felt? Physically felt their presence?
But I think more commonly what's been happening in the past year or so is I have been stopping dead in my track when I'm walking through the house because I'm just short of stepping on a cat only to realize that there's no cat there.
Hmm.
So, yeah, they're there. And I'm actually seeing them for that brief moment to make me stop walking so that I don't step on them. It's quite interesting. Do I sense their presence? I know I have an ability to sense the presence. I have sensed the presence of human people. I can't necessarily say that I've sensed the presence of the animals. But on the other hand, I seem to be getting a glimpse of them.
Well, seeing them is
much more exciting.
More exciting than sensing the presence, right?
Yeah, except if you
to the point where you don't want to trip over them.
Yeah.
But you see, you're careful about your pets even after they pass. You don't want to hurt them.
Right. But what I think is interesting is that the cat that we have now has taken to opening up closets recently. This is a recent development, which started pretty much the same time that I started seeing cats walking around. And the last two cats that had crossed over always opened the closets and went into the closets. So I think it's interesting that this cat is going around opening up closets at the same time that I'm seeing cats in the house.
Well, we're going to have to see how that plays out.
Mm.
There might be more to come. Another person writes, yes, they do occasionally visit me. My dog and cat I was closest to stayed around the house for maybe a week after they passed. They would rub against my leg, pat me, and I could feel them on the bed at night. Now it's occasional visits, as it's been many years since they have crossed over. Not much different than what we normally see. I mean, people, these physical contacts tend to wane as the years go by.
I think it's more you get what you need. When somebody or a pet crosses over, when it's fresh, when that grief is fresh is when you need them the most, and that's when they're around.
Another experience, yes, a dog that was our family pet many years ago showed up with my father, who is in spirit. More recently, a favorite dog of mine has come around several times since his passing about 3 years ago. So there is another example of two loved ones, one a dog and one, a dad, show up
and
together.
Bringing who?
Yeah, that's right. Who is bringing who? Another account, I bought an antique wicker chair and had it next to my bed. I woke up and there was a little terrier dog asleep on the chair. It must have been his chair when he was alive, and he was still sleeping there in his afterlife. I did move the chair after that experience.
That's adorable.
Another one. Yes, while I was half asleep in bed one time, I felt pressure above my shoulder and thought in my head that it was my dog. But I was frozen in place and couldn't turn to see her. People do get, sleep paralysis, right? Where you just?
I think that's a normal part of sleeping.
Yeah.
That when you eventually fall into that very deep sleep, there's a hormone that paralyzes the body so that the body can rest and heal.
But
just going back to that story,
yeah.
But the person was there. They were conscious of the situation in the room, even though they were in a deep sleep. That's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, she described it. I was half asleep, and she felt pressure, so that's in that kind of in-between sleep, I guess, right?
Going from one state to another.
Yeah. One evening, I went down to work while my wife prepared dinner. As I sat at my desk, I saw from the corner of my vision the familiar small golden brown image run by my desk, thinking this was the it started on top. I'm sorry that we lived in a home with an office in the basement. Our two Yorkies liked to come down in the basement and lay down by my desk while I worked. Eventually, we had to have the older one, Bridget, put to sleep. One evening, I went down to work while my wife prepared dinner. As I sat at my desk, I saw from the corner of my vision the familiar small golden brown image run by my desk. Thinking this was the younger dog, Sweetie, I looked to see where she decided to lay down so I wouldn't run over her with my chair. as I looked around my desk and then the office space and then the rest of the basement, I couldn't find Sweetie. I went upstairs to see if she had snuck out on me. I walked into the kitchen, and there she was laying in the kitchen while my wife worked on dinner. I asked my wife if Sweetie had just come up, and she said no, that she'd been there the whole time while she was cooking. So I guess that wasn't Sweetie. Yes, for several weeks after my beloved dog died, every so often I could smell her. Her scent was particularly strong when I was decorating my Christmas tree. I was thinking about how much she loved the tree, and suddenly I got her scent very strongly.
Mm.
How many times have we heard that? You know, people smelling, perfumes or cigars or...
It's amazing what they can manifest from the other side. I think that, and perfume, I think, is an interesting cigars, the smoke. Those scents that they can manifest from the other side that reminds us instantaneously of them. It's not like, a neighbor's smoking a cigar and I smell it here. It's like it comes, that smell comes attached with this knowledge that it belongs to that deceased person, and that's what makes it so cool.
Mm-hmm. I've sensed these presences often when engaged in activities in which we all participated, such as walks and roughhousing together. After our son died, we witnessed our live cat stretching and curling on her back as she used to do whenever he would play with her.
Mm-hmm.
He probably still was playing with her,
right
from the other side. Yes, we had a petite, dilute calico named Daisy who passed a few years ago. For many months after, I felt her jump onto our bed at night and her distinct footsteps as she carefully walked around my body searching for a comfortable spot at bedtime. so many people, have, I guess more so even than in the human accounts of the animals come, because the animals, that's what, especially, well, cats and dogs, is what they do. They jump up in bed with you. My cat of 16 years just recently passed. Her pattern was to go in the backyard in the morning and then cry to be let back in. A few days after her leaving, I distinctly heard her crying to come into the house. The dog and my other cat heard it, too, and we all stared at the door. I thought about what to do, so I went to the door and called her in and told the silly pussycat, you don't have to do that anymore. So that was cute, and it's interesting that not only did she hear the crying, but so did her other, the other animals. Let's squeeze in another one or two.
One more, I think.
Yes, after our dog Ernie passed, I felt him jumping at my feet while I was prepping a chicken for dinner. He did this in life and seemed determined to let me know that he was around. So that's all we can get to for tonight. But, I think the consensus is that afterlife encounters with pets are very, very similar to afterlife encounters with our other loved ones that were once in the physical.
Extremely similar.
Right.
Okay, we now ask our listeners to please join us in our global peace prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from all participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind. Let us as one consciousness give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away,
and science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.